All right, Revelation 13, the two beasts. The two beasts. In chapter 12, we saw the birth of Christ, how Satan, through Herod, tried to kill him right away. That Christ was going to rule, come back and rule with a rod of iron. That's talking about millennium. And also how it gave the picture of why Satan just turns up his wrath. And it's because at some point, Michael and the good angels are going to cast Satan and the dark angels out of heaven permanently. And he turns his wrath upon mankind. And when that didn't work, he tried to destroy everyone. And when that didn't work, he then turns his wrath upon the saints. And we see that at the very end of chapter 12, if you look at the last verse. And you may want to put a little marker in Daniel 7 if you're following your Bible versus my screen. You may want to put a little marker there at Daniel chapter 7 and one in Revelation 13. That way you can flip back and forth real easy. Otherwise, I do have most of the verses up here, but maybe not quite all of them. And so that way you can flip back and forth real easy. But chapter 12, verse 17, the last verse says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman." And we determined the woman just meant Eve as the mother of all mankind. So it's representing people. He was mad because he had just tried to kill them all and it didn't work. And it says, he went to make war with the remnant of her seed. And so who is that? Well, it tells us in the next breath. Those are the ones which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So these are saved people. You know, the lost don't have the testimony of Jesus Christ, okay? The saints do. And so from there, so now we see in chapter 13, he's wroth and he's gone to make war with the saints. And then that's where we pick up with chapter 13, and we see the domain of the Antichrist. And we're going to get right into some stuff here right away. So just kind of, hopefully I'll be clear. I've been praying that I'll be understandable and clear, okay? And so we got the first two verses, and he says, and, so it's like, dragon was wroth, he's going to make war, and he says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads, 10 horns, and upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. And the dragon," that's Satan, gave him his power and his seat or throne and great authority. Okay, and so we're gonna look here what this means in the domain of the Antichrist. And so now you need to look at Daniel chapter 7. We're going to jump right into Daniel because there's a similar passage here in Daniel 7. It's just amazing. You know, Daniel writes this all those years ago, and then John writes this, and you know, and it just kind of lines up. And you know, these are things that God has given us in form of repetition to kind of confirm everything. And so here we have Daniel chapter 7, verse 2. "Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea." So here we have the sea. "And the four great beasts come out of the sea." Now, it's one beast in chapter 13, but four beasts coming out of the sea and diverse from one another. "And the first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld," now remember in chapter 13, verse 2, we got a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Okay? So here we have a lion had eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, what we have here is Nebuchadnezzar. If you go back, and we're not going there, but if you look back at chapter 2, and most of us know the story, but the bottom line, the king had a dream. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He woke up. He was troubled by it. He couldn't remember it. Called all his astrologers and his magicians and all these supposedly wise people and said, I had a dream. You need to tell me the dream. Now, can you imagine that? You know, if you just walk up to me and go, hey, I had a dream last night, Pastor Mike. Could you tell me what it is and then explain it to me? I'm like, really? But that's what Nebuchadnezzar did, and he was going to kill them all, you know, if they didn't come up with it. And so, of course, and they're like, are you kidding me? Give us the dream and we'll certainly interpret it. He goes, no, you got to give me, you know, you got to tell me what the dream is. But anyway, so Daniel comes along and says, hey, you know, I'll do it. And of course he did. It was the big statue, the big idol, the gold head and the silver breastplate and the brass upper legs or thighs, and then the lower legs and feet of iron and iron mixed with clay. And this was this vision. And he tells Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head, which I'm sure pleased Nebuchadnezzar. He's the top dog, you know, the gold head. But we know about it, Nebuchadnezzar, don't we? He got prideful. And God took away his sanity, basically. And he, the Bible tells us when you read that whole account, I think it's chapter 5 or something. But anyway, Nebuchadnezzar goes out and he's on all fours eating the grass of the field. And the Bible says his hair was like feathers. And this is a reference, you know, the wings were plucked, you know, it had eagle's wings, wings were plucked, you know, feathers, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was, you know, so he was on all fours for 7 years, and he stands up. And so the bottom line, you know, these things, what you need to see as we go through them is, they represent a man as well as a kingdom. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was the king, but he was the king of Babylon, okay? And we're going to see this as we go forward. So here's the lion, okay? Because God told Nebuchadnezzar, you're the top dog, you know, the king of the beasts, so to speak, okay? And so with the gold head. And he says, and then behold, another beast, a second, like, here we go, the bear. Like a bear. And it raised itself up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And so this bear is actually the Medo-Persian Empire, because we had Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, and then Nebuchadnezzar dies and he has a son and a grandson, and, you know, the whole story goes on, and the writing on the wall and all that. And then the Medes and the Persians come in and take out Babylon, and we got Darius and Cyrus, okay? And they rule, okay? And so that's the bear. Then he says, and after this I beheld, lo, a leopard. So here's the leopard that's mentioned in Revelation 13, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. These are all worldwide powers. You know, Nebuchadnezzar was the ruler of the known world, and then they fell to the Medo-Persians, and they were the rulers of the known world, and that was the silver. And then we have the brass legs, and that's the Greeks. Alexander the Great comes, and you say, well, wait a minute, this thing's got four heads. Well, Alexander the Great died when he was like 30 or something. I mean, he's very young, and he died, and you know what happened? His four generals split the empire. And that's what this is a reference to. There was four heads. Four of his generals, they split the empire up and ruled it. They had dominion over the Greek empire. Okay? So this is prophecy. Because obviously this is way later than Daniel, when all this happens. And so these beasts all represent kingdoms and men as well. Okay? Let me catch up with myself here. So, let me keep going. So after this, I beheld in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful, terrible, strong exceedingly, had great iron teeth. And it devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, had 10 horns. And remember in Revelation, this beast coming out of the sea, he's got 10 horns, okay? And before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now remember this phrase, mouth speaking great things, because we're going to see it a few more times. But this fourth iron is iron, and it's Rome. Okay, we're talking about Rome here. And Rome ruled the world, just like all these other empires. They ruled the known world. They didn't rule the whole world. You know, if you study anything, you know, they tried to take over Britain, and they only got as far as halfway, and then they couldn't take those guys out. So the emperor said, well, just build a wall, you know. And they built Hadrian's Wall, which is, he was the emperor of Rome at that time, if you study that stuff. But anyway, he built a wall there in Britain. So they didn't take over the whole world, but basically the civilized world, or whatever you would call it, they were in charge of. And so here we have these kingdoms and these rulers of them. But it also is speaking, and remember I told you this way earlier, but some prophecy is prophecy that's fulfilled closely, but then it's also a precursor of prophecy to come. Okay? And so we're going to see here, and later on in Daniel, he's still in chapter 7. This is 17. So it gets more detailed. These great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth. Okay? But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Well, obviously the saints didn't possess the kingdom forever and ever after Rome. Okay? So we're talking in the future, because, you know, there is a place where we're going to possess the kingdom forever and ever. Jesus Christ is going to rule it, and we're going to rule and reign with him in heaven forever, I mean, on earth forever and ever. Okay? And he says, then, but Daniel's curious, see? Because these other guys you can kind of figure out, you know, they're men or whatever, but he says, this guy's kind of special. He says, I would like to know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and nails of brass, which devoured, break in pieces. He's just quoting the previous verse, stamped the residue with his feet, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, before whom 3 fell, and even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things. Okay, there's that phrase again. Whose look was more stout than his fellows. And he says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Okay? And if you look down, if you go back to Revelation 13 and look at verse 7, it says, and it was given unto him, talking the Antichrist, to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And to overcome them. And all power was given him over kindreds, tongues, and nations. Okay? So this is prophecy of what's going to happen here. It says he's going to make war with the saints. He's going to prevail. Until what? Until the Ancient of Days. That's the Lord. The Ancient of Days. Till the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. We're going to be judged for our works. We're not judged about salvation. Okay? Christ paid the price for that. But we're judged for our works. And the time came that the saints possessed, and judgment was given to the saints, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Then he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth. Okay, so this is looking ahead. This is all about the Antichrist, because we're going to see the Antichrist, because that's what this thing's about, the domain of the Antichrist. Well, the domain of the Antichrist is the whole earth. It's not just, you know, where the Roman Empire was or the Greek Empire. You know, they covered vast. It's going to be the whole earth is going to be under this guy. And he says, he's going to devour the whole earth. He shall tread it down. He'll break it in pieces. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And we'll see that later in Revelation, not today. But later, there's these 10 kings that rise up. They control the whole earth. And another shall arise after them. And the Bible tells us later in Revelation that these 10 kings just give their power to him, the Antichrist, okay? And so, and we'll see that, you know, in another chapter, but it says, shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So there's this one guy that's going to rise up, and he's going to subdue the 3. So you got the 10, the 3, and then the 1. Okay? And it says, he will speak great words. There we are again. against the Most High, and he will wear out the saints. Interesting word, huh? Or phrase. Wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's 3.5 years. 1 plus times is 2 plus a dividing, a half. 3.5 years. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end, and the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Okay? So in other words, this guy's going to rule the whole earth. He's going to overcome a whole bunch of people. But in the end, the saints are going to rule. It says, the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Okay, so, and again, you know, we're not going to go deep in this because this is not a study on Daniel. This is a study in Revelation. But I think you get the picture, you know, where this is coming from in Revelation 13. And so we got this Antichrist, and he's going to rule the whole world. We'll now go to verses 3 through 8, and we see the blasphemy of the Antichrist. Remember in Daniel's prophecy, he says he's going to blaspheme God, he's going to blaspheme the temple, and you know, all this stuff. Okay, he's going to say great things. So we look in 3 through 8, and he says, "And I saw one of his heads, as it were, one of the kings, which he ends up being a king that, you know, rises up out of the rest of them, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." So this guy rises up, he takes control. And we know, you know, in our timeline, you know, we got the first 3.5 years when the Antichrist is making wars and there's famine and pestilence and martyrs. He's martyring people. And then at that halfway point, at the 3.5 year point, that's the abomination of desolation. That's when the Antichrist enters the temple, calls himself God. And we're going to see that in just a minute. But in that time frame, right in there, when he's taking over the temple, calling himself God, he's killed. He receives a wound. He's wounded to death. And then it says his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered about it. Well, let's say all of us have probably heard of and maybe even known someone that maybe was in an accident, or you see on the news people get shot in the head, like those two policemen. Point blank, guy's got a pistol, shoots him in the head, and they both live. Now and everybody's going, wow, they're still alive. And then, you know, a day later, you know, we kind of forget about them. You know, oh, they're okay now, they're getting better. And we've all heard of things where people should have died, but they didn't for whatever reason. So I don't think the whole world's going to wonder over something like that. But if somebody just flat dab was killed, okay, and then comes back to life, I think the world would take notice. And we can see here that he was killed. And that's some of the verses I got here. In 11:7, chapter 11, verse 7 of Revelation, it says, "When they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit..." What's the bottomless pit, folks? You got to die to go there. Well, here's a guy that ascends out of the bottomless pit and will make war against them, talking about the saints, and shall overcome them and kill them. Okay? So this guy's dead. He comes back from the dead. Here's another verse. This is chapter 17. "The beast that you saw was and is not..." Now, what is not? It's dead, right? And shall ascend, here we go, out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder." Okay? It's talking about the Antichrist. He's killed. He goes, he's in the bottomless pit because he died. And he comes out. And it says they're all going to wonder. And it says go into perdition. And it says, "And whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." So that's anybody that's lost. Okay? When they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. I mean, this guy dies. And I believe that, yeah, he dies, and then I think just Satan enters into him and starts doing his thing. Because that's when things really, at the abomination of desolation, when that takes place and he declares himself God, that's when the great tribulation begins. And that's when Christians are just being martyred left and right. Okay? And we looked at that previously in chapter 6 or whatever. But so anyway, we have this beast that dies, and he comes to life. And it says in verse 4, and they worship the dragon, that's Satan, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who's like unto this guy? I mean, I'm just paraphrasing English now, okay? You know, who's like unto him? Who is able to make, how can you make war against a guy that won't die? He was killed and he came back. And you know, you got to remember, Satan is an imitator of God. Satan has a son, so to speak, the Antichrist, that's going to die and raise again from the dead, just like Jesus came and died and raised from the dead. Satan is a great deceiver. He's a great imitator of God. He wants to be God. He wants to be the Most High. That's his deal. Everything God does, Satan does. He just can't do it as well. Do I have another verse? No. Okay. So anyway, he dies. Satan seeks to copy the death and resurrection of Jesus. People begin to worship the Antichrist. It says they're worshiping him. They worship the dragon, Satan, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast. And it says in verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him, here it is, 42 more months. He's going to continue. Now he's stood in the temple, he's declared himself God, and power is given to him for 42 more months. And that's that last 3.5 years. And then if you read the end of the book, at that point, you know, he's gathering up armies, okay, Armageddon, okay? He's gathering up armies, and it's so anticlimactic. You know, he goes and he's gathering all these armies, and then it just says, and then Jesus just came and took him and the false prophet, and we'll get to the false prophet in a minute. Takes the Antichrist, the false prophet, just tosses him in the lake of fire. I mean, it's over before it starts. I mean, it's just, I love reading that because it's like, man, I've got all these armies, I'm going to do damage, and then pff, God just tosses him. You know? I mean, you know, but that's such his pride, right? Such his pride. So anyway, 40 and 2 months. So verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. I mean, he's just calling out everything that has to do with God. And of course, verse 7, it was given to him to make war with the saints and overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. You know, it's not just some people say that it's only the Jews are saints here. Well, this says he's going to overcome the saints, and it's saints that are over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. I mean, you know, there's going to be a lot of people there. And it says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Who? Well, only those whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And so my question is, how can he make war against the saints if the saints are all gone? Because there's people that say, you know, they believe, their position is that the rapture's already happened. There's no saints on the earth. And then, so what they will say is, well, here's the answer that you receive is, well, that's the church age when in the rapture, but this is the tribulation age. These are saints that are coming out of the tribulation. But I don't believe there's such a thing as a church age. I don't believe there's ages like that. And I'll base it on this verse. Now, the God in parentheses, that's mine, okay? I put that in there so we'd know who unto him is. So when you read the passage in Ephesians, Paul is praising the Lord, but he says, unto him, meaning God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. World without end. Amen. All ages. So, you know, any believer, you know, who do we say are is the church? Well, it's believers, right? Well, was Moses a believer? Was David a believer? Was Noah a believer? Was Enoch a believer? Was David a believer? Was Isaiah a believer? You know, all these guys, they were part of the church too. They happened to be Jews, but they believed. They looked forward to the Messiah. Many of them prophesied about the Messiah. They knew the Messiah was coming. Those were an age, and then we have, of course, what is commonly known as the church age, which is, you know, after the book of Acts. But it says throughout all ages, glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. So I don't believe there's a church age, and then it ends, and then there's this age, and or, you know, whatever. I just, you know, that's me, okay? People argue, that's okay. We can agree to disagree. That's just, but I'm preaching, so. So you get my side. Okay. But you know what? Just like every message, you're going to take it home and you're going to take from it what you take from it. And that's good. You know, take from it and compare it with Scripture and, you know, develop your position. You know, don't take my position just because I'm here in this spot. You take the position, what you get out of the Bible. That's important that you do that. Where am I? Okay. 9 and 10, okay. So we have the domain of the Antichrist. We have the blasphemy of the Antichrist. Calls himself God. Okay, now we have the faith of the saints. He says, if any man have an ear, let him hear. You know, man, what am I saying, he says. And then he says, he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He that kills with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. He's talking about the saints here. And you know what? Saints are going to go into captivity. Saints are going to be killed. Okay, and he says, but here is the faith and the patience of the saints. And that word patience there in the King James Version, you may have perseverance, you know, something like that in your version, words, but we know what that's what it's talking about. But it's really the word hupomone, okay, Greek word. And here's the definition of that. It's the quality. It's a quality that these people had that do not surrender to circumstances or succumb under trial. Okay? So whatever the circumstance, whatever the adversity, whatever the trial that's going on, and believe me, when the Antichrist is persecuting everybody, that's adversity. That's a trial. And it says they don't succumb to it. When you got that quality, the patience of the saints, the perseverance of the saints, the hupomone of the saints, these guys, these are true believers. They don't give in. They're not going to take the mark of the beast. You know, they're not going to renounce their faith. Even if it cost them their freedom or their life. The faith of the saints. Boy, it made me question my faith. I mean, it's like, you know, if I'm faced with that, you know, am I going to stand? I mean, you know, you need to think these things through ahead of time. Because if it happens in your lifetime, you're going to be faced with that decision. And you need to think it through. Because with us, we have Jesus. And I just threw this part of a verse in here, Hebrews 12:2, the first part of it. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, here is the faith of the saints. And where do we get that faith from? From the Lord. You know, we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's the one that gave me the faith. You know, he's the author of my faith, and you know what? He's the finisher of it as well. faith of the saints. So we got the domain of the Antichrist, the blasphemy of the Antichrist, the faith of the saints, and now we come to the false prophet. Man, I'm doing fairly well here. The purpose of the false prophet, we see this in 11 and 12. So we have this beast come out of the sea, and he speaks blasphemy, and he's killed, and he comes back, and he's declared himself, you know, Lord, and he's killing all these Christians and doing all these things. And it says, so how does he do this? You know, how did he get that kind of power? Well, it says in verse 11, and I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon, and he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes, here's the thing, and causes the earth and them which dwell within, or dwell therein, to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Okay, so the purpose of the false prophet. Now he's called a beast here, but you know in other places it's false prophet. But here's the thing: he comes out of the earth. I think this guy is a man of God, of some quote unquote man of God, not a real man of God, obviously. But I think he's some sort of a religious leader that has a lot of sway. Some people would say the Pope. You know, I don't know how much sway the Pope has with a non-Catholic. But there's going to be some guy that's really got a lot of respect from a lot of different religions. And that's what I believe. But it says he comes out of the earth, and he has two horns like a lamb, and he speaks as a dragon. So he's going to look like a lamb. In other words, something you're not afraid of. I mean, who's afraid of a lamb? Right? He's just going to be like a lamb. He's going to be seemingly good. I believe he's going to be some kind of a holy guy or, you know, whatever, a religious leader. But he's going to be seemingly harmless. I mean, you know, whatever. But it says he's going to speak like the devil, because that's who the dragon is, right? He spoke as a dragon. So this guy's going to look really good. He's probably going to endear all these people to himself. And then he's just going to start going, you need to do this. And he's going to point everyone to the beast, the Antichrist. He's going to point everyone to the Antichrist. And that's his purpose. We're going to now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, because this describes the Antichrist in this. This is the guy. And it says, and what I'm going to get to, I think I'm in the right place, is, let me just read this scripture and it'll probably reveal it to me. I'm operating on overload right now. But anyway, for such are, this is talking about, this guy, he comes as a lamb looking good, but he speaks as a dragon, right? Well, just like we have prophets, real prophets, meaning in the modern sense, men of God that speak truth. Well, Satan has his prophets, if you will. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Okay, so he's speaking about other people that, you know, they try to look good. And no marvel, he says, no marvel that they're trying to look good. They're trying to look like a lamb. I mean, who's Christ? Lamb of God, right? They're trying to look, but they're false, they're deceitful, they're transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Okay, he's not an ugly guy. You know, he doesn't look evil when you look at him. He's a deceiver. He comes as an angel of light, and it all looks good until he pulls the rug out from under you. It says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So just like there's people that believe in the Lord, they're saved, and they're ministers of Jesus Christ. Well, it's no big deal that Satan has his ministers that are deceptive. Okay, but he says what? Their end will be according to their works. See, our end is, praise the Lord, my end is not according to my works. Okay? My end's according to my faith, to my relationship. But their end is going to be according to their works. And of course, we know what that results in. So it's no big deal. So this guy is a minister of Satan. That's why he's pointing everyone to the Antichrist. Okay? Because he's his minister. It's his holy guy, you know, in our parlance. And then in 13 through 15, we see the power of the false prophet. I mean, this guy is not just some guy spouting some words. I mean, this guy has actual, he's got ability, okay? It says, he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. So, you know, he says, oh, you don't believe it? Bam, he calls fire down in front of a whole bunch of people. That'd get my attention, especially if I wasn't saved. Get my attention. And it says, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. So he's pointing everyone to the Antichrist, and he's got power to bring fire down. And somehow, I bet people 200 years ago or something, they read this, and it's like, what is this talking about? How can you make an image of a beast and then make it talk? You know, it says the image should speak, both speak and cause as many as would not worship to be killed. How can an image make someone speak and also kill people? Well, you know, we know today, you ever see those holograms and stuff? I mean, you know, the image of the beast. And that image is going to speak and bark out orders, and people are going to obey them and kill the saints and kill those that don't take the mark of the beast. It's an image. It's not him in person. He's probably somewhere, you know, and they got that technology and that stuff. But, you know, people reading that, they must have been like, wow, how does that happen, you know? But we live in an age where we know how it can happen. We've seen it happen. I've seen it on the news where they want to talk to somebody, and instead of looking at them on a TV screen, they got the hologram right there, and they're having a conversation with it, you know? So he has power to make fire come down, power to do miracles, power to give life to the image of the beast, and people will believe the false prophet. They're going to believe him. They're going to worship this guy because that's his purpose, remember. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians. Maybe. There we go. Man, I went through a bunch there. Okay. He says, now we beseech you, this is Paul writing, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together under him, rapture, okay, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that, here we are, that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Who's that? The Antichrist. He's telling us that the day of the Lord is not going to come until the Antichrist is revealed. That's the abomination of desolation. When he takes power and he says, I'm the ruler of the world. I'm God. Worship me. Who approves and exalts himself above all that is called God. Remember, he was blaspheming against God, against the temple, against everything in heaven. You know, he's blaspheming. Or that is worshipped, so that he as God, and here it is, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, you know, where am I getting all this from, that he proclaims himself God? Right here, 2 Thessalonians. Describing the Antichrist. It says, remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. He's going to be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And we'll get to that verse in a minute. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders. So he's talking about the Antichrist, and I love this. You know, the Lord's just going to consume him. You know, and like I say, later on in Revelation, you know, he gathers all of his guys, and Lord just tosses him. So, but here's this verse 7. For the ministry of iniquity doth already work, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And this is a verse that people say, there's a position there where this is the rapture. You know, this is, you know, people be taken out of the way. They're meaning that the Holy Spirit is gone. And why is the Holy Spirit gone? Because all God's people are gone. I just have a problem with that because I don't see the Holy Spirit mentioned anywhere in that passage, number one. Another problem I have is, how do you get rid of the Holy Spirit? I mean, who removes the Holy Spirit? David wrote in Psalm 139, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand leads me and your right hand shall hold me." You know, the Holy Spirit's everywhere. Even if all the saved were gone, the Holy Spirit still be here. He's not going to be out of the way. But the one that's going to be taken out of the way is the Antichrist. Because that's what this passage is about. When you read the whole passage, and there's Bibles out there, when you read that, they'll have their little footnote and they'll tell you that's the Spirit of God being taken away. But I don't know where they get that, because the whole passage, when you read, and we read the whole passage 1 through 9, it's talking about the Antichrist. It's not talking about the Spirit. And so I believe it's just been misinterpreted by some. And that he is the Antichrist. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point. It's just, it's a problem. And I believe that, you know, obviously when the Antichrist was killed, that Satan entered his body and all that, and then he's got to be taken out. And so he will be when God says it's time. He does it. So we see the power of the false prophet, regardless of where your position is on that. But he's got this power to do all these things and to make the Antichrist just look so good. You know, like he's the one. Then lastly, we have the mark of the beast. 16 through 18. "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their in." Now, some versions say on, but this says, King James says in your right hand, which makes more sense in today's technology. You're going to have a chip implanted or something like that. In your hand or in your forehead, and that no man might be able to buy or sell unless you have that, or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So apparently there's a couple of things there, but I think when they implant that thing or whatever it is, whatever it turns out to be, I mean, I could be wrong, it might not be a chip, it might be something, technologies like this, right? So, I mean, 6 months, it could be totally something different. But whatever it is, if you don't have it, you can't buy. And you can't sell. You could say, well, I got a lot of property, I'll just sell. You know, you can't even sell anything. And he says, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. Okay, the famous 666. And, it's interesting. Look at how things are going right now. Right now, you got to have, they postponed it because of COVID, but you got to have a real ID to fly. They postponed it. It's going to take effect in 21. Okay, but starting with that, look at all this talk about vaccines for this COVID thing. They're talking about having injections that once they inject you, they'll be able to see if you had the injection by shining a light on you. And if, they'll shine the light, and I guess you'll glow or something, I don't know. But it's going to be in you. And they're going to be able to tell. And you know what? And I could see it. The way they're hyping this up, that you're not going to be able to travel if you haven't had the vaccine. They're not going to let you travel. They're not going to let you, whatever. I think these things are a precursor to the real deal. This is just getting, the evil one is smart. And he knows a whole lot of people just aren't going to roll over and, even lost people, a lot of lost people aren't going to roll over and take this stuff. But he's getting everyone used to the idea we need a vaccine. Health. I mean, what's more important than health? You're striking at the heart of an individual. And people will compromise their values. I'll take the vaccine so I can buy, whatever. And eventually it's going to be, you can't operate anywhere in the world without the mark of the beast. I mean, it's a progression. It's a progression. He knows you're not going to get wiped out. You're not going to buy into it immediately. Some people will, but a lot of people won't. So he brings us down a road. Oh, you got to have real ID. Oh, you got to have a vaccine. Oh, you got to have this. And pretty soon, you got to have this mark or chip or whatever it is. It's just going to go down a road. And then there's going to be those that won't take it no matter what. And those are the ones that are going to kill. And who's that going to be? Well, if you're wise, because he says here is wisdom, okay, understanding about what this is, and if you are wise, and especially a Christian has no reason not to be wise, because we have the word, we're going to say, ain't no way. And you're going to be carted off and put in prison and killed and all that. And that's why it says in another place, it says, except the days be cut short, no one would survive. So God cuts it short. And then I believe that's when the rapture happens, because he takes us out. And then the wrath begins. And we haven't got to the wrath yet. That's coming up. So anyway, just things to think about. Mark of the beast. I mean, it's so famous phrase, right? The mark of the beast. I mean, it's a million movies have been made with that theme. But it's real, folks. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. The two beasts will do things I don't want to think about. Okay? But they are things I want to know about. The world will be afraid, but we shouldn't be. Paul wrote, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." When we're afraid, that's not the Spirit of God working in us. The Bible says the only thing you should fear is God Himself. Was it Solomon wrote, "Fear God and keep His commandments"? That's the whole duty of man. He's not given us the spirit of fear. Now nobody wants to go through some of this stuff, or really any of this stuff, but we need not be afraid, because we know the end. We know. If you're a child of God, if you're a believer, you know the end. The end is good. The end is good for you. Jesus himself said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." We're not going to have peace in this world, especially when the Antichrist comes on the scene. Definitely not going to have peace. It says, in this world you shall have what? Tribulation. Christ said it. But he says, in the midst of that, you know, you read about tribulation, read about the wrath of God and the Antichrist, all this stuff. He says, in the world you're going to have all this stuff, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You are a child of the King. Jesus Christ is your brother. We're joint heirs with him. We can have good cheer in the midst of terrible stuff. Be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. Chapter 13 is not the end of the story. Okay? If the Bible ended there, it'd be like, whoa, right? But it's not. There's like 9 more chapters, okay? And you're going, wow, man, I got to sit through 9 more weeks of this. But anyway, it's not the end of the story. Jesus has overcome the world. And he will deal with the two beasts, as I already described to you. And you can read it for yourself. I think it's 19, chapter 19, I believe. I've read it so many times, it's all jumbled in my head. And you know how I am with addresses of things, but I think it's 19. But anyway, he will deal with the two beasts. Through his shed blood, we too have overcome the world. And nothing can take that away from you. No matter what anybody does, whether it's the beast or the false prophet or Satan himself, he can't take that away from you. If you have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit, that cannot be taken from you. No one can pluck you out of his hand. Rejoice. Praise the Lord. That's what we're going to do. I think it's a perfect time to have a praise service because this has been kind of bleak. You know, and I'm sensitive to that. I'm not smart enough to work this out. I already had my vacation plan and it just worked out this way. I think that's God. You know, it's just God. We need a break. I mean, this is heavy stuff. And I think we just need a service where we just praise God, sing some songs, and, you know, get off of tribulation overload, you know, or whatever that we're on here. But you know what? That's the beauty of our faith. That's the beauty of our Savior. We can praise the Lord no matter what. He's overcome the world, and because he's the victor, we're the victor as well. I don't know, there may be somebody listening online or here, whatever, and you've never accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior. Read these words. You need to be a Christian. This is not a fairy tale. This is real stuff that's going to happen. And yeah, many Christians disagree on the timeline, but none of it is good. Okay? None of it is good. And there's no way out except through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the only way out of this. And if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, you need to do so. Because he's the only way. It's the only way. And for the rest of us, you know, how many of us have fear? You know, don't have fear. Okay, that's not of God. Doesn't mean you ignore reality, but don't have fear. Just, if anything else, just pray more. Okay? Put your faith in him more. How's your fear? How's your faith? Check. Do a little self-check. I got fear, do I have faith? If things come down this road the way you say, will you have the faith to stand? Here is the perseverance of the saints. Is that going to be you? It starts with a prayer. It starts with just asking God, man, reveal to me where I am at, Lord, and help me to stand in the day of adversity, that I would not turn my back on you no matter what happens. Have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here today, you would say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I've heard your message, and I realize I really need to do something about this. And if you're online, I pray that you would do something about it. Don't let another day go without giving your life to Jesus. If there's anybody like that, just slip your hand up. I just want to pray for you. For the rest of us, how many would say, I have some fear about some of this, and I just need prayer. I need to get this in a right frame of mind, and I'd like prayer about that. Anybody like that, just slip your hands up. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. How many would say, well, I'm not really afraid, but I'm wondering about my faith. And I believe I have faith in Christ, and that's settled. But boy, I don't know if I have the faith to go through this. And I'd like prayer about that. I'd just like to have some encouragement in that area. Amen. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for letting us know what's going to happen so we can prepare for it. And Father, we also thank you that you gave us a Savior that will carry us through it. Father, I pray for these that lifted their hands, and I pray, Lord, that you would give them light, and that your Spirit would surround them and give them peace as well. And help us all to grow, Lord, in these very important areas of fear and faith. Help us to grow, Lord. We should only fear you, and we should have great faith in you. Help us to grow. And I ask you these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If you need prayer, if you need if you want someone to pray with you, we have that. If you just need to do business with God, this is your time. Take advantage of it. Before you, grateful for Jesus Christ, grateful that your word tells us, Lord, that the battle's already won. He has already overcome the world. And in your timing, in your way, Lord, you're going to make all things right. And we thank you, Lord, that we don't have to be afraid, that we can just trust in you. And so, Lord, we lift you up, we praise you, we thank you for all that you're doing in our midst. Lord, may it be so, how your word comes to life and carries through. Father God, let it be said of all of us that it is well with our soul. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.